Good morning. It's just wonderful to worship God like we did this morning. And this past weekend, I really felt God, there's something shifted in the spirit, something shifted in many people's hearts. And so praise God for that. We're continuing with our series, Driven by Eternity, number 5. Very excited about this day's topic, Judgment Day. How about that? That's exciting. I'm very excited about this morning because I'm going to show you a video clip. I've always wanted to show this video clip in church. And so I'm sure you're going to enjoy that. Wat kyk ons? Daar's fout. Nee, nie met my data project nie. I want to show you a video clip. This can't be happening. It's flashing. Come on, baby. Whoa. It's back. Okay, let's see if we can sort it out there at the back again. This would be very evil if I can't show you my video clip today. When it comes to preaching, in the church world, there are, in a sense, sometimes pressure to preach what people like to hear. You know, feel-good messages. There's lots of pressure on, I believe, on pastors to preach things that people want to hear. But in the process, I think people get a warped idea of who God truly is because you only give a part of the picture. And I also think sometimes people then misunderstand God. They get offended with God because they don't actually know who He is. And so this morning I want to bring in a bit of balance in the sense that yes, God is love. He is love, but He's more than just love. Okay, and it's very important for us to understand that. Psalm 33, I shared this in the previous message when we spoke about no second chances. And it says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. It's amazing, by the word, just by the words that God spoke. By His breath, He created all of the heavenlies, all of the stars, everything, just by His words. And then verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. This is a good fear. But let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And verse 9, for He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. See, our God is King. He's not just love. I've said before, He's not a bunny rabbit of love. Okay? He is King. He's the King of the universe. He's glorious. He's powerful. And it's the same way in the kings of old, they were often also the judge of the land. Their word would be the law. If the king said, then it is so. And in the same way, our God is King, and His word, as that scripture says, His word will stand. He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. When our King speaks, then it will be. It's really something I believe we need to catch. You see, if we, and so often we live, I believe as Christians, we live lives where we, in a sense, always on the receiving side of life. We the hiding ones, we the hunted, we the just holding on for dear life. Until you start realizing who is your God, that He is the King of the universe and He's standing behind you, standing with you and leading you. And for me, the whole thing of standing in awe of Him, it's like a good example for me would be with the evening Retief Berg and his band when they were here. The first part of the evening, I mean, the sound quality was phenomenal. The band was excellent, almost perfect. You couldn't find fault. It was amazing. But it wasn't that amazing yet until a little bit further in the evening when we started to sing the English songs. suddenly the presence of God came into the room. I don't know if that's well, why the English songs, but for some reason, all the English people say, yay. But it was in that moment, it's like it. You can have all the fancy sound, lighting, perfect band, but it cannot compare to when God pitches. It cannot compare to when the presence of God comes. It affects you. Then you want to stand in awe. You want to say, wow, wow. As some people also went to Jesus culture, they can't say, wow, how is this? Wow. What's the wow? It wasn't the band. It wasn't the music. It wasn't the lights. It was God. It was God's presence. Stand in awe of Him. And so you can have low quality sound, low everything else, but just God. And it's wow. So the whole earth stand in awe of Him. There's nothing like the presence of God. It's like we are designed for His presence. Everything on the inside of us wants His presence. And so when we experience His presence in worship, it's like we come alive. It's like the source of life touching us. It's amazing. It's wow. It's wow. And I believe we're going to have awesome times ahead. I really feel God is wanting more of His presence in church. Daniel chapter 7. Just about the king. Again, this is Daniel. He had visions of what is to come and also visions of who God is. He saw into the spirit. And it says there, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. And in the next verse, a stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. 100 million angels stood before him. Maybe people, not sure if it's the day when people will be standing before God. And then it says, the court sat in judgment and the books were opened. So here we see God is not only king, He's not only seated on His throne, He's also judge. Judge. The court is opened. The books are opened. And the court sat in judgment. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, we should set our minds on things above, where Christ is seated. Now what is that? That's the throne room of God. In other words, we should not be so focused on the earthly and the here and the now. And I must say, I often catch myself with this. I get so involved with the details and the challenges of life that I forget to look up. Look up with the eyes of my heart and see that my God is enthroned. Despite all the challenges, despite the chaos we might sometimes experience in our lives, our God is enthroned and He's glorious. And so here we see God as the judge. And this is not just a future moment, this is now. God is enthroned right now in the heavenlies. He's enthroned right now. If you go read through the scriptures, whenever somebody would truly meet God, either an angel of God or God Himself, they would often fall prostrate before Him. They would lose their strength. They would be terrified because of His awesomeness. Yeah, sounds like Kung Fu Panda. Awesomeness. A little bit more awesome than Kung Fu Panda. But when we meet with Him, then we fall before the King. We prostrate ourselves before the King. And so I want to touch on different aspects of judgment. We're going to start off with the more negative side of judgment, and we're going to move to the very positive side of judgment. The definition of judgment, what does the word actually mean? It's a formal utterance of an authoritative opinion. A judgment is something that somebody declares that has the authority to declare that. A judgment could also be a formal decision given by a court. Okay, so see that picture of the judge, the courtroom. And then 2 Peter 3, verse 7. Now, this is the final judgment. This is the one day. Just want to quickly touch on this. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. So there's a time coming, the day of judgment, that the earth will be burned up. Now, there's different opinions about it. It says, on the one hand, it says God is going to remove everything and give us new earth, new heavens, everything new. Another opinion is God is not going to remove it completely. He's just going to remove all the corruption. He's going to remove all the evil. He's going to remove all the darkness, and that is bad and wrong. He's going to remove it on Judgment Day, the day of the Lord. Okay, so I want to show you a video clip from Terminator 2, Judgment Day. This is my fave movie ever. And well, sort of. At the time, 20 years ago, it was my fave movie. And I want to show you the introduction, and it shows that the movie basically plays off before and then the later series after nuclear war broke out, and the whole earth was basically destroyed in the sense of with fire. And the first part speaks of that. And then these robots that appear at some stage. I don't know what the robot has to do with anything, but I want to show you the bit of fire and the cool music. I've always wanted to do this. So you are now privileged to experience my dream come true. Are we ready? Yay! That was awesome. All the men enjoyed that. So that was for the men. I said I've always wanted to do that da-da-da-da-da. But I wanted you to see the fire burning everything in a sense in that image. And that's basically what the scripture says. Verse 7, 2 Peter 3. The heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment. And that will be a terrifying day, and make no mistake. And it says, then the destruction of the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? It's those who have not turned to Christ. We all were ungodly at some stage. We all were full of corruption. We all had a sin nature until we turned to Jesus. Then he gives us a new nature. We're no longer ungodly. Now we're godly. Okay, so then the Bible says we do not fear the day of judgment. 2 Peter 3 verse 10, the next scripture there. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So there will become a day, a moment, where God will expose everything that has been done before his very throne. There will be an exposing of everything that's been done by mankind. Everything you've thought in life, everything you've done in life, there come a moment where it will all be, say, on the big screen. And in that sense, everything will be exposed, but also burned up and dissolved. Next scripture, let me quickly give you a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 to 10. So whether we are at home or away, meaning at home in the body, or have left our bodies because we have died, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. That's a message on its own. But it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. Okay, that was just sort of the introduction. When I actually move to the good stuff, the positive stuff. For those who don't know, there's currently a war happening in the heavenlies and also on the earth. It's a war between good and evil, between God and the devil. And Revelation 12, verse 7 speaks of this. There's something that happened in the past. A war broke out in heaven. It says, now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. The dragon is the devil, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven, so they were cast out of heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So the devil was thrown out of heaven, and his angels were thrown out of heaven. They came down to the earth, and another name of the devil, or Lucifer, or Satan, is the accuser. He accuses the saints of God. He comes and accuses the people of God. In the book, Heaven is For Real, a little four-year-old boy who, in a sense, went to heaven. He says, he told his dad when he came back, he said, all the angels wear big swords so that they can keep Satan out of heaven. So there's still that war going on at this moment. Okay, then another scripture, Matthew 16, verse 18 to 19. I'm just touching on a few. You can go read on it at a later stage. This is Jesus speaking to Peter. I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But there's this moment where Jesus speaks to Peter, and he says, Peter, I'm going to build my church, and not even the gates of hell will be able to stop it. In other words, all the forces of the enemy of evil coming against you will not be able to stop what I am planning to do. So there's this place where God has called the church to and believers to, is a place of being victorious, of overcoming, of prevailing. But many Christians are not prevailing. I want to show you this morning why I believe why. Two things. Why I believe many Christians are not prevailing in their relationship with God and on this earth. And so I want to take you, in a sense, to another judgment day. But this is my key scripture for, this is what I want to speak about this morning. Daniel 7, verse 21 to 22. Just later on in that chapter, he's already seen God enthroned. He has seen the King of the universe. He has seen fire moving forth from the throne of God. And then he says this, then he speaks about different rulers coming to reign over the earth. He speaks of horns of authority. And then he speaks about the little horn. And then he says, he sees this. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. So there's a force coming against the people of God, and this force was prevailing against the people of God. And then this amazing thing, the next verse, 22. Until, can you say until? Until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. This has been speaking to me this past week. They were prevailing over the saints until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of God, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So I want to paint you a picture. Courtroom, throne room in heaven. God Almighty sitting on His throne. At His right hand, Jesus, the Son of God, and God as well. Jesus, the apple of His eye. Jesus, the one who is perfect and beautiful and spotless and blameless, the perfect one. Then us, standing on His left. And then in the midst of this, the accuser, Lucifer, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, standing and accusing us. Saying, Your Majesty, have you seen what your people have been doing? Have you seen how sinful they are? Your Majesty, have you seen how they break your laws over and over again? Your Majesty, have you seen how they rebel against your every will? Your Majesty, let me remind you, your word demands punishment for what they have done. Your Majesty, you have committed yourself that whosoever breaks your law shall receive your fury and your vengeance. Your Majesty, you can't back out, for your word shall be. And so the king on his throne contemplates and agrees, saying it is true. They have broken my law. They have done all of this. They deserve punishment, and they deserve all of my holy anger. For I am a holy God, and my word shall stand. And as he was about to declare judgment on us, mankind, Jesus, the Son of God, stepped up and said, Father, pour out all of your anger, pour out all of your wrath, pour out all of your vengeance on me. I will stand in for them. I will take their place. And so the Father, the King, the Majesty, the King of the universe says, let it be. And so they take Jesus away, and if we play it out, he comes and becomes a man, born from the Virgin Mary, goes through his 30 years on the earth, ministry of 3 years, all with his eyes on the moment, the judgment day, the day of his greatest joy, where he could take our place. And so Jesus was brought before men, and men judged him, found him guilty of nothing, but yet they decided they're going to crucify him. And so he was beaten, so he was bruised, so he was ripped to shreds, he was spat upon, he was cursed at, he was humiliated, he was shamed, hung naked on a cross in our place. Judgment Day. And all of God's holy anger and wrath was poured out upon Jesus. Judgment Day. The most significant moment of all of time, when Jesus took our place. Judgment Day. That scripture says in verse 21, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Next verse. Until the Ancient of Days, the Son of God, came. And a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. This is beautiful. You have to see it. The throne room. And the accuser comes and he says, but they have broken your law. They have rebelled. They are so sinful. They're so pathetic. And then the King of the universe can say, but I have made a judgment. They are set free. I've made a judgment. I've made a decision. My Son has taken their place. I've made a judgment. Yes, they were sinners, but now I make a call here, an authoritative decision before all of the universe. I declare those who turn to Jesus to be saints. Full of corruption now, pure and blameless and holy. I've made a judgment. It's final. It's powerful. The King making his decision. Previously, they did not qualify. Previously, we didn't qualify for relationship with God. Now, God says, I qualify them. I wash them, I purify them, and I prepare their physical bodies for the greatest gifts. Gift number one, salvation, eternal salvation. Gift number two, my Holy Spirit. And now I can come and put my Spirit within them. The judgment has been made. The accuser can accuse. Don't receive it. If you are a Christian this morning, do not receive the accusations of the enemy against you. Judgment has been made in favor of the saints. Do you know what's missing so often? We don't understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. Do you know what's missing sometimes? We don't celebrate that. That's why so many Christians live powerless lives, because we don't realize that the judgment has been made in our favor. And he said, you are no longer my enemies. You are now my sons, my daughters, my very own children. All of my resources are now available to you. All of heaven backs you. The enemy prevailed, but no longer. A judgment has been made in favor of the saints of God. And now the kingdom can come. The kingdom can come. The kingdom can come until the Ancient of Days came. So the first area I believe sometimes missing is we're not celebrating the cross. We're not believing what Jesus did for us. That's one thing I want to encourage you to do. Have communion at home. Take something that represents the blood of Christ. Take something like bread that represents the body of Christ. And break bread. You can do it every day. You remind yourself, a judgment has been made in my favor. I was guilty. I was a convicted criminal. And a judgment has been made, not guilty, free, blameless, justified. How? Because of the cross. And then the second thing I believe is missing sometimes, and I believe that God is really speaking to me about this. When did the change come? In Daniel chapter 7. Until the Ancient of Days came. So Jesus in the flesh came on the cross and he died. Yes, but I believe that's speaking of now as well. The presence of God. The presence of God. When God the King comes, I said, you want to stand in awe, you want to say, wow, 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 wow. The King has come. The kingdom comes when the King comes. The kingdom comes when the King comes. And we can, every Sunday, we can sing a few songs and we can talk about the scriptures. That's nice, but it's not awesome until the King comes. Until the presence of God falls and floods our lives. The enemy prevailed until the Ancient of Days came. And I believe God wants us to get a hunger for his presence. A thirst for his presence. No longer settling just for sort of Christianity. Say, God, we want you. You are alive and we want you. I want to stir something on the inside of you this morning. We need God. We need his presence. How? How does that work? How do you get God to come? How do you get the King of the universe to grace us with his presence? Praise him. Praise him with everything within you. That's why we have been focusing on praise and worship. That's why we want to make time in the mornings to say, God, we're going to praise you. You are worthy. Praise him. The presence comes where he is praised. The presence comes where he is praised. The kingdom comes when the King comes. When we celebrate him. When we celebrate him. God made you. He put the trillion cells in your body together. He wired you. He designed you. He is awesome. He gave you breath in your lungs. He is worthy. He is worthy. I always say this, but it's so true. We get so excited about the biller. We can scream and shout and get upset and swear at the TV when we shouldn't have. But it's sometimes so hard for us just to worship God. Lift our hands and say, God, you are amazing. Fall on our knees before him because he's given us life. He is worthy. I owe him my life. We owe him everything. If we catch that, if we as a church catches that, we will start worshiping God here like we have never experienced his presence. I want his presence. I know you want his presence as well. We want his presence. We want to say, God, come. God's presence fills the house of praise. And that's why praising him is so powerful, but also prayer, the house of praise, where there's this thirst on the inside of us. God, more of you. God, we need you. We want you. God, come. This Sunday, this evening, this morning, God, come and fill our homes. God, come and fill my life. We want you. Are you celebrating God? Are you celebrating God? Are you celebrating what he has done for you? Or is it a far-off, nice story somebody from a pulpit once told you? Jesus died for my sins. That's so cute. It's more than cute. It's life-changing. When you get it, when you catch it, when the revelation settles in your heart and mind. Look at the scripture, Revelation 12. The first part I read about the war in heaven, devil being thrown down, the dragon being thrown down. And then verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now, can you say now? Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Verse 11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives unto death. Such a powerful scripture that all speaks about the judgment that has been made, the king coming to die for us. And he's saying, now, and now God takes it a little bit further. And he says, now this has come. How has this come? Jesus has ascended back into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. How has this come? It has come through his Holy Spirit. You and I become carriers of his presence. He comes and God declares, now I give to you salvation. Whosoever calls on my name shall be saved. Power, my Holy Spirit, my essence, my very source of life, my very being, I give to you and I fill you. Kingdom come, God's reign in our hearts and then through us. Authority, you and I are now seated with Christ at the above every principality and power. We have received authority in Christ. When the presence of God fills you, when the presence of God is with you, all of this is included. All of the resources of God becomes available. When the presence of God fills us. And then, now this is beautiful, you have to get this. When the king comes, when the presence of God comes, then he makes a judgment again in favor of each and every one of his children. He makes a judgment, a call, a decision, and he speaks to sickness, and he says, sickness, leave. Healing, come. Why? Because I am the Lord, your healer, and I am here. When the king comes, he speaks to darkness and he says, darkness, leave. Light, come. Because I am the light of the world and I am here. When the king comes, he makes a judgment in favor. When the presence comes, he makes a judgment in favor of each of us. When the king comes, he speaks to fear and he says, fear, leave. Peace, come. Because I am your Prince of Peace. I am your Prince of Peace. I'm just sharing these things because I'm trusting that things will settle, something will settle in your heart, that you will see it. If the presence of God comes, what is wrong must leave, what is good must come. When the king comes. The kingdom comes when the king comes. Search, pursue the presence of God. I'm seeking the presence of God like I've never sought his presence. I'm seeking the presence of God. I'm just realizing, God, I don't want church without you. I don't want church without you. I don't want to sing songs, Lord. I want to worship you when you are present. I don't want to hold before this world a powerless God. I'm sick, please pray for me. We pray nothing. That sucks. Yes, you're allowed to say that word in church. When the presence comes, people will be healed. When the presence comes, you and I will be set free. When the presence comes, we will be transformed. When the presence comes, you will say, I have come home. Because I have come to meet the very source of life, my God. Seek the presence of God. Start off by celebrating the cross, celebrating the victory on the cross that lays the foundation. And then we move from there and say, God, your presence. Let your presence come. Acts 2, verse 16, I'm almost finished. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is Old Testament scripture on the day of Pentecost. The apostle Peter got up before thousands of people and he preached this message. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God. That is right now. This is the last days. That I will pour out of my spirit, my life essence, all of my fullness on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What's prophecy? Prophesy is when the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, comes upon you and speaks through you. And he makes a judgment. The king has come. The judge has come. And he says, this shall be. And he prophesies. And so he's called each and every one of us to have that same authority in our mouths where we can speak and declare in the name of Jesus. Because he puts his life essence on the inside of us. My sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. You will see who God is through his Spirit. Your old men shall dream dreams of what is possible, of what is to come. Verse 18, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And then later on in that scripture it says, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a picture of the enemy prevailing over the saints of God until the Ancient of Days came through his Spirit. And he still longs to come through his Spirit. He still longs to fill you and me with his fullness. And that's what this Tuesday evening is about. If you have not experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you're a Christian, but you have not received the infilling, then come. This tomorrow evening, we lay the foundation about the cross and the blood and committing our lives to the Lord. And then Tuesday evening, we trust for the infilling of the Spirit and the every life essence of God to come and live on the inside of us. And then next Sunday, we're calling it Liberty Sunday. We're going to spend some extra time or just make more space for God. I want to encourage you to come prayed up to next Sunday. To pray and say, God, if you have been filled with the Spirit, if you are a believer, to say, God, here I am, I'm available. Whoever, just say, I'm available. God, I'm available. That you can speak through me, that you can prophesy through me, that you can speak a life-changing word to somebody. Liberty Sunday, where we just worship our King for who he is and say, God, we have no agenda. We just want you. We just want your presence to come and flood our lives and hearts. So next week, Sunday, we're going to be praying at 8:30 in the morning. You're welcome to come and join us for prayer and prepare your heart. Say, God, I want to see a vision. I want to hear your voice speaking to me because you are alive. God, I desire you. The worship team can join us. I want us just to end off with this one song or one liner. Just to declare who our God is. Do you want the presence of God in this house? Absolutely. Do you want the presence of God in your life? If you have not tasted it, if you haven't experienced it, there is nothing on this earth. They say drug addicts they've been on cocaine and some serious stuff. They say when they get filled with the Holy Spirit, that high is more amazing than the highest cocaine or whatever. Nothing compares to knowing the very source of life, meeting with him. So I want to encourage you. This church is not about one person standing up in front, hearing from God for the others. This church is where the whole body hears from God and shares it with one another. That's what it's about, the body of Christ. Glorifying the King. So let's stand. Yes, God, we declare that you reign. We declare that our God reigns. And we don't care what the world says. We don't care what mockers would say. We don't say what we don't care what people might say. We know what you are saying. And that's all that matters. The King of the universe. The King of life, the King, the Prince of Peace. We celebrate the judgment that you have made in our favor, where you poured out all your wrath on your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that the gates of heaven have been flung open. And you're saying, you're welcome, come in. And so, Father, we speak to every heart here this morning. Life, Lord. God, where the fire in the heart is like an ember, it's dying out. God, we pray for new life. We pray that your Spirit would come and bring life. A holy, flaming passion and love for the God of the universe. The God of love. So we declare that our God reigns from heaven. Hallelujah. Let's sing that. Let's declare it. Allow your heart to believe it.